Maine restaurants tiptoe back into table service. Under Governor Mills' directives, today is the first day cafes and restaurants in 12 Maine counties can open their doors and allow some indoor dining. But that doesn't mean the decision to reopen is an easy one for restaurant owners. Some are worried about the safety of their employees and customers. Others say they can't serve enough meals to make ends meet under the new distancing regulations. Some are implementing new creative ideas. Many have turned to takeout. And a handful of Maine communities are considering closing streets in order to allow more outdoor dining this summer. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on Maine Calling, we will learn what people in one of Maine's favorite industries, its restaurants, are doing as Memorial Day weekend approaches. Maine Calling is next, but first, this news. For Maine Public Radio, I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. Today marks a big step toward reopening the Maine economy. Restaurants in much of the state can open their doors to diners today. We'll talk with some of them about how that first lunch service is going and how they feel about the balance between safety and getting back to business. And we'll talk with restaurant owners who are not reopening yet to learn about their plans. Joining me for the hour, Steve Hewins, President and CEO of Hospitality Maine. Hi, Steve. Thanks for joining us today.
I'm happy to be here, Jen. Thank you very much.
As always, we want to hear from you out there in radio land. Are you eager to go out to eat at a restaurant again? What are you thinking as you consider it? You can send an email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, post a comment to our Facebook page, or give us a call, 1-800-399-3566. Again, 1-800-399-3566. This program is part of the Maine Public's reporting project, Deep Dive Coronavirus. So, Steve, today is the day that restaurants in 12 Maine counties are allowed to reopen to inside dining. What is your sense of how many are actually planning to open today, and how are they feeling about it?
Well, I think it's a mixed situation. I think there are certainly people who are very excited and ready to open and have been preparing for this. But there are also folks who are still a little nervous about, you know, the virus, of course, their ability to operate safely and sort of thing. And those people that really have capacities that they may be able to profitably operate and might just wait until the future will be opened up, be able to serve people profitably. So quite a mix. I think in the more rural state parts of Maine, northern areas, probably there's a much greater chance than as we go south, it becomes a little more of a wait and see, I think.
Okay, so Steve, you're cutting in and out a little bit, but let me rephrase. As you're in sort of northern Maine, more enthusiasm and then some of those counties where maybe it's not one of the four counties that are not allowed to reopen, but border those, a little more hesitation.
Yeah. Especially along the coast, which I traveled up the coast yesterday just to get out and about myself and saw people getting ready to open, and I spoke to them, and some were ready, and some were going to wait until Memorial Day. Just a small sampling, but I was in the Mid-Coast area and working my way back to Portland, where I live.
Right. And I think that's probably what we're hearing as well, is a mix, and we're going to hear from restaurant owners throughout the program. Governor Mills outlined some specific restrictions for restaurants that decide to open to sit-down dining. Talk about some of those guidelines. If someone walks into a restaurant, what will they see that's different than before?
Well, probably the most obvious thing they'll see is the distance between tables, because that is one of the first requirements in the new reopening phase. So tables will be at least 6 feet apart, which reduces capacity in restaurants significantly, probably to in the vicinity of around 30 to 35% capacity. So they'll start that way. There are different requirements to check in and, advance. You can't just walk in, you have a reservation, so that's another feature. Looking at employees that are going to be wearing PPE, various types of face covering and other things, which was not normal for people to go into a restaurant By the way, guests will be required as well, at least until they sit down to eat. So there's new protocols that everybody's going to have to learn and get comfortable with.
Yeah, well, obviously you can't eat with a mask covering your mouth. Are most people going to have a mask, be asked to have a mask on until it's actually their food arrives?
Well, that's a good question, and I think you're going to see people that are not clear on what to do with regard to that. I know one thing that we really want to do is educate the frontline employees so that they can both keep themselves safe as well as their guests and advise them on what they need to do to follow the rules. It's something we're working on in terms of educating the staffs. But until that point comes, some people are really taking this seriously, many restaurants. You know, I saw that yesterday. The places that I did go were, it was clear that the protocols were in place already. Not a restaurant, but shops like bookstores and things like that had opened up yesterday. So it's going to be a challenge to implement these rules. Requirements are 5 pages of requirements for restaurants. So it's not going to be simple. In order to be safe, that's why they're outlined in that kind of detail.
Right. I'm wondering, too, so many restaurants depend on a high turnover and have a low margin. Are there restaurants that are saying, look, if our tables are 6 feet apart, we are not going to be able to even pay our staff and pay for food, so we're not going to open?
Absolutely, 100%. There's a lot of people that are in that position. And we're seeing it with some restaurants that have chosen not to open, some that have closed permanently already, given what they're facing long term. Because, we're dealing with a crisis for sure right now, a health crisis, and now it's becoming an economic crisis. But this has a long tail to it. And so these changes that are being implemented are short term, yes, but ultimately I think it's going to impact the way restaurants operate for a long time to come, perhaps 10 years.
What is your sense about restaurant workers? If restaurants do decide to try and reopen and follow all these protocols, are the restaurant workers ready to come back? Some, after all, have been collecting unemployment, making more money than they were before. Others may have underlying conditions themselves or live with somebody who has an underlying condition at home.
I think all those things are true. I begrudge nobody the idea that they don't want to come back either for health reasons or even for financial reasons, as you say, with the enhanced unemployment insurance now scheduled to run through the end of July. So that's a tough call for individuals to make. I think the thing we do as industry, though, is we have to really work hard at making sure that people that do come back are really safe. We're going to launch later on this week in conjunction with Eastern Maine Community College. We've built an electronic badge, which is a style of short-term education around the state's guidelines so that you can take the course that is specifically about implementing the state's checklist and then get certified if you pass the test and get that certificate of value for completing it. We'd like virtually every frontline hospitality worker in Maine to take the course, because not only will they be able to protect themselves and maybe have confidence that they know how to do that really in a really organized way, but also to become somewhat of mentors to customers, because the commissioner mentioned on Friday is that a lot of this is contingent upon people doing the right thing. From an industry's perspective, our job, number one, is to protect employees, and number two, to have those employees help protect guests. So,
Steve, let me ask you more about that badge. So this is an online course that Maine Hospitality is doing in conjunction with Eastern Maine Community College?
Yes, that's correct. When I submitted on behalf of the association our plan for reopening restaurants and hotels, that was back on April 22nd. At the request of the governor, we sent that in. And many of the rules that we see today were in that document initially. But I said at the time that we would implement a training program. We would build a training program to implement the governor's checklist. So we went to the community college system. Dan Bellier, who's worked very close with the industry for the community college system, put us in contact directly with Eastern Maine Community College, who had been working on badging, which is a very new credential that is really taking a piece of a course and condensing it into a way that it can be delivered quickly, in this case, online. And further, because we have the funding for this, it's entirely free. So basically, we're going to have the capacity in the next couple of days to train, in effect, every hospitality worker at no cost. And I think that's the best we can do to try to keep everyone safe.
So will you see, when you go into restaurants, will you see maybe the server or a cook or somebody wearing like a pin or something on their shirt?
Well, that's a good point. We didn't get to that level yet as to how we're going to display that, but most definitely we want customers to know that this person or this establishment has been through the training. So we are looking at different types of displays that we can put up to give people that type of confidence. And
all right. You know, that's really interesting. Joining us on the line now is Danny Collins. He is the owner of Riverside Inn Restaurant in Presque Isle. Thanks so much for calling in, Danny.
Hey, no problem, Jen.
I understand you're just coming off your first in-house meal in weeks. How was the lunchtime crowd? How did it go?
Oh, we had great response today. 6 o'clock this morning, the old fellas were lying at the door waiting to get in. They couldn't wait to see each other. They've missed that.
Really? They were lining up at 6 o'clock in the morning? What time did you open your doors?
We opened at 5:45.
Oh, my goodness. How many people? Did you count between 6 a.m. and right now?
Well, we've done well over 100, easily.
Well, and what would be a typical day?
Oh, a couple hundred.
Okay, so still fewer than normal, but was that more than you expected?
Nah, well, we've been doing that anyway every day. You know, with the takeout. But I can tell you one thing, being in the kitchen was a lot easier to put it on a plate than in a box to go.
I bet.
Not using our phone for a lifeline all day long. So.
Right. So
a little less
Danny, what kind of precautions did you take to reopen today? How is your restaurant different than it was before?
Well, we roped off every other seat or table. Of course, we got our Lysol and wipes and everything out. My wife does the menus after every person leaves. Wipes the chairs down, the handles on the door. You know, we have food gloves. We have masks, but sometimes you just can't breathe with them on. But most of the time we try to wear them. You know, we try to do everything we can.
Did you have the guidelines out that the state had given you and try to check them off one by one?
Well, I've been here 35 years. I mean, to say that you've been in business for 35 years in Rooster County, Maine, should speak for yourself. We totally remodeled this restaurant, tore it out, kitchen to front dining area, and it's a really neat, clean place, and that's the way we keep it. So we didn't, you know, nothing's really changed here for us. We always kept it, you know, nice and sanitary in the bathrooms and everything. So,
right. So the biggest change was that every other seat was cordoned off.
Yeah, that's a big change. You know, when you're, you know, I got 46 seats, which I've had for 35 years, and my kitchen and the staff is based around, and the checkbook and the bills are all based around a full house. So, you know, I'm not happy about this, but we got to do what we got to do. So.
Are you going to be able to make it with 23 seats?
Oh, yeah. Listen, I've been here a long time. We're not going anywhere.
You kind of mentioned what you were doing before, and I understand it was kind of creative. You weren't just doing takeout of your regular menu, were you? What have you been doing for the past few weeks?
Well, the past 60 days, actually, because we've been counting, and my wife and I, we had to trim the menu down. You know, like some things that move, and you can keep it to hold, and it's good. But in this deal, we had to cut out a lot of things. Like I took the Reubens off the menu, and the pastrami and Swiss, and things that move, but not as fast as, you know, burgers and fries. And what I've done is I've been going down to the coast every week and bringing back 100 lobsters, and cooking them, and cleaning them, and selling fresh lobster rolls, which has really saved us.
I saw that on your Facebook page. It looked like a pretty good deal, too. A lobster roll and fries for $13.95.
Well, that was probably 6 weeks ago. It's $15.95 now, but it's still a heck of a deal.
How are the other restaurants around you doing?
Well, unfortunately, some aren't going to reopen. Matter of fact, I just fed lunch to the lady that owns the Pretzels here. She's not going to reopen. You know, we got a beautiful pub here in town that's just reopened today, but they weren't built around a takeout menu, and hopefully they're up and running and going strong. And you know, it's just unfortunate that some aren't going to be back, but you know, it's what happens.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that, Danny. Before we let you go, is there anything you want to add? Anything that's going through your mind on this first day of this very cautious reopening?
I just want to get everything back to normal, get my health back. You know, what kind of scares me is when we're able to take the tape off every other table and go full force, and then the government's still paying all my help to stay home twice what they ever made, that's going to cause a major problem for me and other restaurant owners and other businesses. So I can't wrap my mind around that, really, but I don't understand it.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you so much. I bet you're worn out right now, and I really appreciate you taking the time to call in to Maine Calling today. That's Danny Collins. He's the owner of the Riverside Inn Restaurant in Presque Isle. Steve, as you listen to Danny, are you hearing a story that you're hearing from many people?
I'm hearing a story I've heard from dozens of people in the last couple of weeks. I mean, it's very sad. I mean, Danny made a lot of good points about the struggle that he has and the conflict over bringing employees back. And really the stories of places that are closing and closing permanently is, you know, some of it's pretty heartbreaking, you know, to hear this every day. And so that is the kind of thing that drives a lot of what we're talking about from the economic cost. You know, it's hard to, you know, we don't argue about health care or health cost and of people, but the economic side is starting to become a really important part of this whole discussion, and he framed it pretty well.
Danny said about 100 customers came, which is about half of what would have usually come in a day like this. Steve, do you think restaurant owners are wondering if the customers will come back at all?
Totally. I definitely believe that. And I think it's a misnomer to think the throngs of people are going to come back either in-state or when eventually we invite out-of-state guests back. I don't see that happening. And, you know, part of the thing about is not having, you know, employees. You know, we struggled for employees last year, you know, because there was no unemployment. I mean, everybody had a job. Now it's sort of the opposite. We have employees that would probably be ready to come back, but we may not have the customers. And, you know, I really think that it's going to be a phase in even for customers as much as it is for businesses that want to reopen.
Well, we're talking about the restaurant industry in Maine now that in many Maine counties, not all, but many Maine counties, restaurants are allowed to reopen if they follow guidelines starting today. We'd love to hear what you think about this. Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. Our email address, talk@mainepublic.org, tweet @MaineCalling, or post to our Facebook page. We'll be right back.
Listener support brings us Maine Calling with help from the University of Maine at Augusta, committed to providing a quality, affordable education online and in the classroom. UMA.edu. And Bangor Savings Bank, celebrating all the ways people all over Maine are making life a little better. Bangor.com/spreadkindness.
National parks are under pressure to reopen, but even some anxious business owners aren't sure social distancing will be possible in places like Yellowstone.
People really struggle with staying 50 feet away from a bison, let alone 6 feet from each other, and we're social critters.
A trip to the country's first national park as it begins its phased reopening. This afternoon on All Things Considered from NPR News.
That's coming up this afternoon between 4 and 6:30 here on Maine Public Radio.
Hi, it's Mark Vogelsang, Maine Public CEO, with my deep thanks for contributing during our radio Pledge from Home fundraiser. With your help, the drive was a success, which will continue to allow Maine Public to serve our community with strong, independent journalism that informs and connects, music that inspires, and programming that serves all Mainers of all ages and in all locations. Your voice is a powerful one. Thank you.
Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on the program, we are discussing restaurants. Some are reopening today. Some are not. How are they doing? Do people want to eat out yet? Joining me, Steve Hewins, who is president and CEO of Hospitality Maine. We invite you to be part of the conversation. You can send an email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet @MaineCalling, post a comment to our Facebook page, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. I'll go to Mary, who's calling from Portland. Hi, Mary. Go ahead.
Hi, thanks so much for taking my call. I'm a server in Portland at one of the more busy restaurants in town, and we have plans to reopen in June, so pretty soon, and I just can't tell you how scared I am to go back to work. And one of my biggest concerns and a question that I have today that my management could not answer was what happens when, not if, when an employee gets sick. We do not have paid sick days, and when one of my coworkers asked my employer about this, they said that they wouldn't be able to prove that we got sick at work. I'm social distancing right now. I have immunocompromised people in my family, and going back to work and being exposed to over 100 people a night scares the crap out of me, to be honest. And I'm just so concerned that we live in a society where it is profit over people. And I've been pretty disappointed with Maine Hospitality, and I will take my question off the air. Thank you.
Yeah. So, Steve, I think she raises a really good question. So many people who work in hospitality do not have health insurance through their employer, but could be exposed to a virus through that employer.
Yeah, well, I totally respect and understand Mary's viewpoint on that about coming back and the concerns. We know there's a lot of concerns people have about coming back to work. And so that's very legitimate. As far as the benefits that some restaurants aren't able to provide or do, part of it's a function of the sort of the minimal profitability. The concept of, quote, profit over people is kind of like gone out the window right now, because I don't think anybody's thinking profits. I can assure you that. No one I've spoken to with restaurants, I mean, they're really focused on survival and the idea of getting through to the other side of this crisis that we're in now. You know, I mean, I think that's the key point, that we, at some point, we need to start to, you know, to rebuild the economy. A lot of people think it's happening too fast. Some people, not enough, and not fast enough. So, you know, in my position, which is really difficult, I'm sort of in the center line of this. So I get people from all sides. Some people say, well, Hospitality Maine, you're not moving fast enough. You know, we should be opening. And then others, have a similar view to Mary that, like, we have to wait. We're not ready. You know, we look to the CDC for the answer to this. So if the governor indicates, you know, we can open, then the industry opens. And so you have to implement safety protocols and sanitation procedures to protect everybody. We implement those things. There is no safety marketing campaign. You know what I mean? It's not like something you go out and say, we're safe and come on back. It's a serious effort. So I hear what she's saying. That would be my answer.
We'll go to Cindy, who's calling from Saco. Hi, Cindy. Go ahead.
Hi there. Thanks. I just had a question on, I was in a grocery store here in Saco yesterday, and several people weren't wearing masks, and I followed up on it later and was told that because of the way the governor's order was written, it's because of HIPAA, that if somebody, you know, could say they have an underlying condition and they can't wear a mask, that they don't have to. So that's why they're not, you know, the staff can't go up to somebody and say, put a mask on. I'm wondering how that is different with the restaurants, because I know you had mentioned earlier people would be wearing masks while they're waiting to get seated. And if someone doesn't, what can you do as a restaurant owner? It sounds, I don't know if there's a difference between restaurants and grocery stores, but I mean, it's definitely a concern of mine going into a restaurant or a grocery store if people aren't, you know, there's no enforcement on people wearing masks. Thank you.
Yeah, Steve, what do you know about what restaurants will be asked to do, will be allowed to do if somebody is not wearing a mask?
Yeah, that's a very good question. Well, first of all, you can deny that person service and tell them if you're not appropriately addressing, you know, the virus, then you need to leave. And part of our training even involves de-escalating scenarios like that, because, you know, you're putting a server, even a restaurant, in the position of telling somebody you can't be served, you need to leave. And really, that's the ultimate thing that you do. Now, do we know that there are other restaurants that will say, fine, come on in? And they're probably out there. We would never advise that, nor, you know, ultimately you risk your license. I mean, that's really the only, the main mechanism that state has to enforce these directives from the governor or from the administration is really licensing, because these are not really laws. I mean, they've not been voted through or anything to that effect. It's an emergency order. And so a restaurant that chooses to not do that easily be subject to, license removal. And we've seen that in Western recently. Or if somebody were to, God forbid, to get sick, then you expose yourself to that because you didn't follow the directives. So
right. It's
spelled out in the order what they should be doing.
Cindy, thanks so much for calling and for your question. We're going to move on to Leslie, who's calling from the Ironbound restaurant in Hancock. Hi, Leslie. Thanks for calling in.
Well, thank you for taking my call, Jennifer. I want to make a couple of comments. I'm in the process of selling a seafood processing company that has made me a HACCP trained and certified person. And I have great concerns about, with this COVID, the introduction of too much regulation within the industry as time goes on. And I don't want to see all of us nationwide as restaurants being to all of a sudden forced to a whole new level of sanitation, disinfecting, cleaning that could be excessive. I mean, myself and all my fellow restaurateurs, we take sanitation and disinfecting and cleaning very seriously already. So I have concerns about that. And I don't want to see the state of Maine filled with all these consultants running around charging a lot of money trying to get into everybody's sanitation procedures, and then it becomes law. And then the other comment I wanted to make was, I think the badge idea is a really good idea, but my concern is, this is the first time I've heard about there being this online course, which I know is going to be, it's, you guys are just in the workings with it, but like I'm opening on June 10th, and now consumers are listening to this show, and they're going to come and say, where's your badge? Like, that's a great idea. And I'm going to say, well, we haven't had time to get everybody up and going with this. So I just wanted to make that comment. But thank you, because I know everybody's under a great deal of stress with this. And thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, Leslie, thank you so much for calling in. Steve, thoughts?
Yeah. Yeah, very good questions from Leslie. I mean, the thing about regulations is, keep this in mind, this is the launch phase we're dealing with right now with restaurants. It's phase two on the governor's plan, but really for restarting restaurants, it's starting phase. So all these controls that are putting in place, they do decline as the phase is on. I think personally that we are entering a period where safety and safety are going to be foremost in the public's eyes. So our operations in restaurants are going to change permanently because of this, but they're not going to be as restrictive as we are launching. So to her point, it is going to phase back. Just to be clear on the badge, because I really had to learn about this myself. It's not a physical badge per se that people wear. It's the term they use in education now for these short courses. It can be taken quickly, and then you get an electronic certification back via email that approves, that certifies you for frontline hospitality services in the COVID environment. So that's really what it is, and it's not going to take a long time. So if you're not open until June 10, you can get your employees through this. And if learning about it today for the first time, it's the first time we publicly talked about this. But, it's been in the works for a few weeks, but it's moving very, very fast to get this out. And I'm hopeful by later this week we'll have a widespread announcement of how to take the class and how, basically easy it will be for employees.
Leslie, thank you so much for calling in. Joining us on the line now, Melanie Fox. She is the owner of Helen's Restaurant down the road in Ellsworth. Thanks for calling in today, Melanie.
Yes, thanks for having me.
I understand your restaurant was one of those allowed to open today and that you did. How was the lunch crowd? What was it all like?
Well, it was a little less than we hoped, but it was more than we had yesterday, which is a step in the right direction, right?
Yesterday was probably zero, right?
That's so. Right. That's correct. That's why I say less than yesterday, but a step in the right direction. I think publicly that not everybody is aware that you can dine in. We still see a lot of they approach the door sort of reluctant, like, can we come in? And so I expect each day we're going to see an increase. We probably had 15 to 18 tables at lunch. And then, of course, we're open for dinner now as well. So maybe we'll see a little more increase there. But my general feeling is that people are not 100% sure that they can come in and that everybody is open. So today was maybe just a little stepping stone to what we're going to see. So,
how hard did you find it to comply with the guidelines, the distancing guidelines, the cleanliness guidelines, the change in what you're allowed to have on a table?
So that honestly is not a challenge at all. We did not feel that was a difficult measure to accommodate. The just removing everything now is single use condiments. So our tables are bare, of course, when you enter. Then we give you your utensils. And that really wasn't the challenge. And honestly, the cleaning is really the only thing that's different. I think I can speak for the industry on a whole, is before we probably didn't sanitize every single menu every time it was used. You would do it at the end of the night or the morning before you open. So that is really the only change that we have. We always sanitize our tables and booths, and we are finding that there really isn't a lot of different things that you have to comply with.
I understand in the last few weeks you've tried to be really creative and find some fun ways to keep serving customers and also just provide some joy to your community.
We
tell us what you've been up to.
Yes, it's been really fun. Honestly, I would have to tell you that we look forward to Saturdays. That has kept us going through the entire 8 weeks. And when I tell you that business has been just amazing for us, it has been awesome. This staff has really had Saturdays is the day that you think, okay, I can work another 6 days and do this, because next Saturday's coming again.
So tell me what Saturdays were.
Yeah, it was car hops, and we started our first one with the 1950s theme, and we had all full-length poodle skirts and hair in handkerchiefs, and we had 1950s music like blaring in the parking lot. People stayed in their vehicles. They were super respectful. We waited on hundreds of people. Hundreds, literally.
That's so fun.
Yeah,
were you able, by doing that, able to keep your staff employed?
I was. I mean, honestly, I probably have only six of my 24, no, probably eight. Eight of them are on unemployment. But we all, starting this week, we've started coming back here a little bit, you know, a few hours a week. So we're hoping that we really open up and people start saying, okay, we can go out and dine, and then we'll all be back to work soon. But yeah, no, the car hop required all hands on deck.
Is that over now?
It is not. No, we actually plan to continue. We're going to continue that through the summer. On every Saturday, actually, we're going to do it Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, because I think we still will see a lot of people that aren't comfortable, maybe immune compromised, elders that don't really feel confident going out. So we just want to encourage them that there's a place that they can go. They can stay in their car. They don't even have to get out and stand in a line. We'll come right to their window, take their order, bring their food to them, and we have pretty much a touchless cash system, so we can cash them out right in their vehicle.
That's wonderful. It sounds like I need to take a road trip to Ellsworth.
Thank
you,
you
so much. Thanks so much for calling in. That's Melanie Fox, the owner of Helen's in Ellsworth. Thank you so much for taking part today, Melanie, and good luck to you. We're going to go to Belinda, who's calling from Bangor. Hi, Belinda. Go ahead.
Hi, Jen. Thank you. Well, I wanted to make just a couple of quick comments. First of all, I am a bona fide Maine senior, and I'm not feeling terribly confident, and I will not probably be going out to any public area for some time, you know, until we are certain as to whether there'll be a second wave, because as we know, historically, the second wave is the one that really cleans the population out. So I think I have to take that very, very seriously. There's a place that I like to go to about 25 miles from Bangor, and I went recently, and they were serving the ice cream in the soft serve, without masks. So I asked the manager, called the manager when I got back to Bangor, and she said, we're doing everything we possibly can. If you want to be served with a mask, just ask the staff. It's a very young staff, of course, very brave and, you know, willing to take chances, which we seniors can't afford to do anymore. So I did. We went back a second time. And I asked the young person to please put a mask on when she served the ice cream that my friend and I were buying, and they couldn't find the masks. So I'm feeling pretty untrusting with some of the lax attitude in the restaurant and the you know, the kind of fast serve arena. So I'm feeling like I really have to use my own instincts, my own judgments in regard to how I'm going to look at probably the next 6 to 12 months of my life.
Yeah. Steve.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, Belinda's given a good perspective. I mean, that's how a lot of people are feeling as far as how that ice cream place was operating. I mean, that's what we're trying to clean up. I mean, this is people that are just trying to figure out how to operate this environment that we're in. And so by standardizing a program where we can say what not only what is required, but also best practices, so people really do get educated. I mean, I really think that's the piece that's missing right now. You can put a checklist out, and as I think it was Melanie said earlier, they were already doing a lot of this anyhow. And a lot of restaurants are really far advanced on sanitation anyhow. We start at a level pretty high. Now we're going even higher. But I think that's where we need to give people more information from operating standpoint. And that's the point we're at right now, is to try to – it's not just the equipment and the distance thing. It's the actual training that's now next up for us. So hopefully we won't have a situation where people don't have masks available. Or I mean, I couldn't imagine serving people with a mask or without at the same – you know, it's either one or the other. I mean, you should earn the mask.
That's right. Belinda, yeah, thank you so much for calling in and sharing your perspective. We are going to take another quick break. When we come back, more of your comments and questions. Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. Our email address, talk@mainpublic.org. Tweet at Maine Calling or post to our Facebook page. We'll be right back. Listener support brings us Maine Calling. With help from Dead River Company, committed to keeping Maine's homes and businesses warm and proud to be part of celebrating Maine's bicentennial. DeadRiver.com. Good Shepherd Food Bank, providing food to Mainers impacted by the coronavirus, and inviting you to join their effort at feedingmaine.org. And Breakwater in Portland, offering summer day camp programs for kids ages 3 to 18. Registration at enrichment.breakwaterlearning.org.
On This Day in Maine's History is brought to you in partnership with the Maine Historical Society.
Archaeologist, historian, and Maine resident Emerson Tad Baker II was born on May 18, 1958. A recognized specialist in the history of 17th century Maine, Baker has been featured as an expert consultant on the PBS miniseries Colonial House. Educated at Bates College, the University of Maine at Orono, and the College of William and Mary, Baker served as executive director of the York Institute Museum and Dyer Library in Saco from 1988 to 1994.
On This Day in Maine's History is made possible through the generous support of Thomaston Place Auction Galleries and Maine Maritime Museum. Happy birthday, Maine!
The daily Maine CDC briefing on the coronavirus is scheduled to take place at 2 this afternoon. Governor Mills is expected to join Dr. Shaw at today's briefing. Maine Public Radio, Maine Public Television, MainePublic.org, and the Maine Public Facebook page will all bring it to you live. In addition, each day's address is archived at MainePublic.org for later on-demand viewing or listening. Just choose the television drop-down. Again, Maine's CDC briefing with Dr. Shaw and Governor Mills in just a few minutes at 2, right here on Maine Public Radio, as well as Maine Public Television, MainePublic.org, and the Maine Public Facebook page.
Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You're listening to Maine Calling. We're talking about restaurants, how they're handling reopening. With me, Steve Hewins with Hospitality Maine. You can join our conversation at 1-800-399-3566. Send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post on our Facebook page. Steve, lots and lots of people posting on the Facebook page, and the vast majority are people who are not ready to go back to restaurants. Charles on Facebook says, no such thing as safe social distancing inside a restaurant or out on a patio for that matter. People are fixated on the 6-foot rule, which is only meant for very brief contacts, such as passing someone in a store or on the street, not for sustained time in an area surrounded by jabbering people without masks. Takeout only for me. Jeff writes, no thanks to eating at a restaurant. Not interested in being one of the casualties that forces us to reconsider in 3 weeks. And Amy writes, takeout only for me for the foreseeable future. Lots of people saying that they will continue to do takeout, but are not prepared to sit at a table.
Well, I mean, like I said, that's why I say there's not going to be any rush to people to come back to restaurants. I don't think the industry itself or the owners feel that to be the case. I think I heard it a couple times today that it's going to be a slow pace for a lot of people, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's all a personal decision, and I'm glad to hear people taking advantage of takeout, and I was really interested in the car hop concept. That's become a really big thing now. The old version of, she was talking about it like a 50s motif, but the actual car hop concept has reemerged as a real good takeout model. I know a lot of restaurants that have parking lots, people just pull in and call the restaurant and place the order, and out it comes. It's like in the old 1950s model. And I also noticed that the old-fashioned hi-hat restaurant, which I think is in Gardner, it could be a Farmingdale, but they reopened, and that is set up as a car hop. It's a literal car hop from the 50s, and they reopened recently because that model is a doable scenario right now.
I know that a handful of Maine communities, Portland and Rockland come to mind, are considering closing off streets to traffic so there can be more outdoor dining. What do you think about that idea?
Well, I think contrary to what one of the texters was writing, or the, there's statistics now talking about outdoors being safer than indoors. So the concept of actually serving outside is safer by the research data that I've seen. Much of it's all new because it's all being developed on the fly a little bit. But so when you're separated outside, you're in a safer environment. Of course, we're in Maine, and the environment in Maine right now is going to have a nice week in front of us, but it'd be cool too. So,
yeah, you can never know for sure what it's going to be. Calling in now, Jay Villani, who is the owner of 3 Portland restaurants, Local 188, as well as Black Cow and Salvage. Thanks for joining us, Jay. I understand we had some technical problems, so I'm happy that you're finally with us.
Oh, I think some hope. I was a little late calling, but thanks for having me anyway.
Anyway, I understand, you're in Cumberland County. You're not allowed to open to indoor dining yet. Are you okay with waiting?
It's a catch-22, right? You want to get back to business, but you also want to make sure everyone's safe, and more importantly, that your staff is safe and we're making the right decisions. And, I'm just going to weather the tide as everyone else is doing.
I understand you've come up with some creative ways to serve your customers in the last few weeks. What's going on different? That's different.
Well, we've made a little pivot to like groceries and provisions at 188. What I do have at the moment is buying power, so it started with a couple employees asking if we can get some food through the restaurant, because going to the big stores was kind of a nightmare, but it's just snowballed from there. The support has been, overwhelmingly positive. I'm hoping more people take advantage of it, but you're trying to change your model on the fly, and each day has its new challenges.
So what can one buy at one of your restaurants that they couldn't before?
Well, I'm doing like bulk stuff, butter, milk, cheese, eggs. I'm bringing in meat from local farmers, vegetables from local farmers. People who haven't signed up for CSAs can get those through us, meals to go. just trying to make it work, you know. And it started just in my neighborhood, right? And I'm slowly getting people from other neighborhoods and communities just because they're trying to support us in, to keep the doors open, you know. So I'm very grateful for everyone's efforts at the moment.
Jay, Steve and I were talking right before we went to you about the idea that the city of Portland might open outdoor space for dining. Do you like that idea? Would that help any of your restaurants?
I think it's great, especially the Cow. You know, I can't take all the credit for Black Cow. Gary Bocott and Nicholas Snappy are really the brain power behind that establishment. But I think it'd be great for the neighborhood, even on a longer term view also. You know, I think less cars is a beautiful thing. So the more open air we have to really get back to the roots of our community, I think it's a wonderful idea. And I hope it you know, exists beyond the current situation.
Well, Jay, thank you so much for calling in and taking part in this conversation. That's Jay Villani. He's chef and owner of Local 188, Black Cow, and Salvage Barbecue, all in Portland. We're going to move on now. We have Alejandra Herrera calling in from Quiero Cafe. Did I pronounce that right, Alejandro? Quiero Cafe?
Yes, you did. Yes.
Wonderful. And I understand you have locations in Saco in Portland. So we're talking about Cumberland County again. So what have you been doing during the last few weeks to keep things going at your two locations?
We have been changing a little bit the line to be able to just do the takeouts, accommodating everybody, our customers and our employees, to everybody's safety guidelines. Going with the flow, learning and switching things according to what's happening. Trying to keep on going and adapting, you know.
I understand you all have been supplying meals to people in need. What are you doing and how does that work?
We have been doing it. We have done it twice here in Saco. Very grateful for the opportunity. First time we did 175 meals. We did the lunch plate, but very popular among our customers. That is rice and beans with some chicken, and we did veggies the first time. And the second time we served 250 meals. And we did same thing, rice and beans with some chicken and sweet plantains. And we had some great feedback.
What did you do? Did you just tell people they could come to the restaurant, or did you take the meals someplace?
It's through the city of Saco. So they contact us, and they were something, an initiative that they are doing for seniors. So they can go into a website, sign up for it, and they tell us how many meals we need to make, like a week ahead of time. And we just make the meals, and at the Taco Recreation, they split it up and do the individual to-go containers, and people drive up to it, and we deliver.
Wow.
And also the police have been doing some deliveries for people that cannot drive or somehow they cannot get to the location.
How are you able to afford to do this?
We get some donations, and we have been very grateful with everybody. Our customers are amazing. We take online orders, and they type a nice message to us for being open. So it's kind of, besides the donation that we get to pay for the meals, we lower the price, so we're able to provide for them.
Mm. I want to ask you what you will do come June 1st. Will you reopen your doors to table dining?
We are not so sure yet. We want to see more of the guidelines because our space is not very big, so we want to know really how many people can come in, or we will continue to do takeout so far that have been working out for us and in Saco and Portland. So just wait and see, pretty much.
Well, Alejandra, thank you so much for joining us. Alejandra Herrera is one of the owners of Quiero Cafe in Portland and Saco. Thank you so much for calling in and taking part today. Steve, I think we have time for one or two more questions. I'm going to go to Ellen on Facebook. She writes, I own a restaurant and can't imagine letting customers in my space. Of course, this equates to 10 to 30% of usual sales if I just do takeout. What legislation or support, if anything, is forthcoming to accommodate this drop in revenue?
Well, that's a good question, because the legislation is not in session, so there is no legislation currently in place to address anything. I know there's a lot of people that are concerned about getting some rent abatement and that sort of thing, because especially in downtown Portland and cities where it's expensive, but that could come at some point. Obviously, the federal government has numbers of programs that have worked for some and not for others. We monitor and try to support that as best as we can. But it still is a tough road to go. And there's an example, as she says, about not opening yet. She needs to understand better what it's going to take.
Mm-hmm. We're going to go to Jacqueline calling from Biddeford. Jacqueline, we're almost out of time, so if you could be quick, that would be great.
Absolutely. Hi, thanks for taking my call. My name is Jacqueline. I own the Parlor Ice Cream Company. We do a lot of pop-up events, which unfortunately we can't do right now. And we also sell pints to grocery stores. One thing we've seen is a lot of customers don't feel comfortable going to the grocery store right now. So we've started to do a direct home delivery with contactless drop-offs for them. So a nice way to get people some comforting treats, but while staying safe and keeping with physical distancing.
All right. And did you have to buy a special vehicle for that with the freezer space, or do you just have a bunch of coolers? How are you doing that, Jacqueline?
Well, thanks to our friends at Vessel Services, we're able to deliver with dry ice, so we make sure to keep all the pints nice and cold and still support our local businesses.
Well, thank you so much for calling. And Steve, one of the many examples we're hearing of real creativity.
That's the thing I was thinking, and really I've heard it so much today from all the guests, is that this industry is really about innovation, and they're tough people, and they're people always look for how to make it work. And so this is examples of that. And so, like I said earlier, we're going to be seeing changes, customer changes that are permanent, some that are short term. I think a lot of people are still on the fence of how to go forward, but over time, restaurants will figure it out, and we're going to see a lot more of this type of innovative approach. And certainly, we're hopeful that it will happen sooner than later, but, it's going to take some time for all this to roll out.
Well, thanks for being with us. That's Steve Hewins, President and CEO of Hospitality Maine. Nikki Shields ran the board today, and of course, today's program will be rebroadcast at 7 this evening. You can find past editions of Maine Calling, as well as helpful links and resources at mainecalling.org. Maine Calling is produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. For more on Maine Public's deep dive coronavirus reporting, go to mainepublic.org/coronavirus. And stay tuned for the latest update from Governor Mills and CDC Director Nirav Shah. That is coming up in just a few minutes on Maine Public Radio, on Maine Public Television, and on the Maine Public website. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You've been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.